Amen. I want you to go to the book of Daniel this morning, the book of Daniel. Daniel in chapter number 3, Daniel chapter number 3. And once again, I do appreciate the opportunity to come. And thank you, Brother McCulley, for the invitation to be able to come. And there's several young men that are here that are on the basketball team. And I want to say how proud I am of them. They're just a good group of young men that never gave up. And you can't put a price tag on that. Doesn't matter how much we were ahead or behind. Most of that was the coach, at least right here. I told Brother McCulley, I said, for years, Philadelphia Baptist always won the Christian Character Award. No matter what tournament they were, Philadelphia won the Christian Character Award. And that's because Brother McCulley was their head coach. And we didn't win it this year, if that tells you anything. So I said, I guess it must be the coach. It couldn't have been anything else. I know it wasn't the guys because they were exemplary in their conduct on the court. And I'm very, very thankful for that. Daniel chapter number 3. When you find your place, let's stand as we read the word of the Lord. Daniel chapter number 3. And I appreciate the parents as well and all the just this year. And the school and the facility here and all the administrators that are represented today. You got a great group of young people, and I'm thankful for that and appreciate what the Lord's doing. The background of Daniel chapter number 3, of the forefathers of God's people had transgressed the law. God had told the people of Israel, let the land rest every 7 years so the land could get caught back up where it could recuperate and be able to yield bumper crops. Well, they did not do that. They just didn't do what God had said, and they began over and over every year and didn't let the land rest. That's why they're in 70 years of captivity to the Babylonians. God is very serious about what he says in his word. So that's why they're in Babylonian captivity. And the Babylonians take Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah along with Daniel, and they're set aside because the king sees that they're very wise. They have a great understanding of science and overall knowledge, and they were to be educated by the way of the Chaldeans. But something happened in Daniel chapter number 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura and in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers and the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The Bible said in verse number 10, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now that's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Said, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Thank you. You can be seated. Now I want to preach a little bit this morning on standing for God when nobody else will. If you see in Daniel chapter number 3, here are these three men that could have said, well, I'm going to go the way of the world. I'm going to bow down under the pressure. And can you imagine? The Bible said it in the next verse, in verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was upset Because can you imagine this? He raises this image of himself by which the children of Israel had already been taught in Exodus chapter number 20 to not make any false images. And so here is Nebuchadnezzar, and he's made this image of himself. And the children of God, these three young men, can you imagine the vast number of people? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are there. And you look around and there's only three young men that are standing when everybody else is bowed down before this image. I want to thank God this morning that there's more than three young people that's in the house of God that have the song of God in their heart, that have the love of God shed abroad, and are loving the Lord and love what they're doing. I know there's people in here, there's young people that probably have got sin in their life, like the preacher said. I have no doubt about that. You say, I don't have no problem with sin. No, your problem's lying is what your problem is. Every one of us have an issue with that, but I want to thank God for the glow of God that I see on the young people's hearts and their face, and they love the Lord. Praise God for that. Amen. I'd rather my boy do something for the Lord. I'd rather him fail trying to do something for Jesus than I would succeed in the ways of the world. And I know this, people say, well, it's easy to stand for God. I'm like, well, it's easy to stand for God if what you're doing is standing for God. Amen. Because I look at them and they think because they go to church on Sunday morning that they're standing for God. That's not standing for God. Standing for God is when every other young person that you know is not standing. Every other young person that you know that's not in this building is going the way of the world. But there were three young men that said, I am going to stand for God when nobody else will. We need some determination of some young people that they are going to stand for God. And if you're going to stand for God, it's not going to go easy as far as the world is concerned. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to be called an old granny. You're going to be called a stick in the mud. You're going to be called an old fuddy-duddy. You're going to be called somebody that's bored and doesn't have any fun. Does it look like that I'm bored this morning? I mean, I am not bored being saved. I've had myself the best time I've ever had for the last 20 years. There's a joy serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk around like you swallowed a sack of lemons and born on the dark side of the moon and drug through the briar patch and baptized in sauerkraut and inoculated with diesel fuel, praise God. You can have a good time and be saved by the grace of God. Listen, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin for a season, and we might as well be honest. The Bible said that, but it will not last. But praise God, for 20 years, I've been having myself a time hanging around better people, doing better things, because I've got Jesus on the inside. Thank God there's still some young people that do want to live for God. And what you ought to do in here, you ought to rally behind one another and say, I'm here for you, I'm here to help you, I'm here to be with you, and I'm here to stand for God when nobody else will. First of all, I got 2, 3, 4, 5 points, amen, and we'll go eat some pizza. They're trying surroundings. See, the Bible said this took place in the province of Babylon. Back in Genesis chapter number 11, Babylon means the gate of God. And it's an account here where a man by the name of Nimrod tried to build a tower up to heaven. And that picture of Genesis chapter number 11 is a picture of what the world is doing today and trying to paint the picture that there is another way to reach higher ground. There's another way to get into heaven. There's a lot of people that will tell you today, well, now, you don't have to call him Jesus Christ. You can call him Allah. You can call him Buddha. You can call him Confucius. It doesn't matter what you really call him, just as long as you're sincere in your heart, and we're all going to happy hunting grounds one day. We're not all going to the happy hunting grounds one day. Amen? His name is Jesus. When Saul of Tarsus was on the Damascus Road in Acts in chapter number 9, the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Amen? And that's his name. Well, here these Babylonians are trying to rebel against God's system and God's way. The Bible said in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I tell you, that's why we need to look in the Word of God, and we need to hate everything God hates, love everything God loves. You say, God don't hate anything. Well, he does. Amen. My Bible said, Psalm 119 and verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. God does not like truth. I mean, God does not like sin. God loves truth. Amen. Y'all got that, don't you? Amen. See if you can splice that out, the technology we've got nowadays. God loves truth. That's why God wants us to stand for truth. That's why God wants us to stand against every false way. If it's against the Word of God, if it's a false way, you and I are to stand against it. And that's what these young men did. And I'm amazed today at some of the things that we're seeing trickle into our young people. There is a movement today called the New Age movement. And you say, what's that talking about? Well, what it does, it draws heavily from a new way of thinking. I think it was Brother Avery that was talking about how that changing your way that you think. That's what the world wants to do. They want to change the way that you think. That's what the adversary is trying to do here. That's why Nebuchadnezzar changed their names. That's why they didn't want them to have biblical names. Hananiah means God has favored. Mishael means who is what God is. Azariah means Jehovah is help. Well, what he does is he changes their names to the Babylonian names, trying to get in their mind and try to change their way of thinking. There are things that are right and things that are truth, and they're all found in our King James Bible, and God loves truth. I got it right that time. But we're in a place where people will come up against and say, well, you know, we need to open our minds up a little bit. We don't need to be so narrow-minded about things. Hogwash. Amen. There are some things you ought to be pit bull dogmatic about, and you ought to be narrow-minded about. Amen. That's exactly right. Somebody say amen, praise God. Amen, that's right. I mean, listen, they what they'll say today is they'll say, now there's a divine presence, and that's what the yoga movement is. You say, you're just mad because you can't get in yoga position. Well, if I did get in yoga position, it'd take four or five wreckers and two or three come-alongs and seven or eight deacons to get me unfolded if I could get in that position. But listen, what yoga is doing today, I'm not against exercise. I look like it. I'm not against exercise. But I'll be honest with you, you ain't getting much exercise sitting there Indian style going on. What they're doing, they say you need to connect with your inner being. You know what yoga says? Well, you know, there's a divine presence in all of us. And what we need to do is we need to meditate and bring that divine presence out. The only thing about that, that's not true. Amen. If you're lost and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Paul said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's not your natural being on the inside. You don't have God in you when you're born. That's why you must be born again. That's the new birth. That's why you got to be regenerated. There's not a child in here. The first words that you ever learned in your life, it was not yes. Now, I tried to teach my children, all of my children, the first, I mean, I'm talking about when they got here. The first thing I did, pick them up, and they didn't know fetch from sickle. They had just got here. I was going, dad, 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 because I wanted them to say dad, dad. I wanted that to be the first thing that they said. But the first word that I had to teach my children was not what they could do. It was not yes. I had to teach my children the word no. No. Now, you might say no. You might say, at my house, sometimes, I mean, however you say it, the reason being is because you don't have good in you when you're born. You got bad in you when you're born. That's that nature that you and I got from way back from Adam that is passed on to every person that's ever been born. Contrary to popular belief, you're not raising a bunch of angels. You're not. They don't have halo on top of their head because their horns keep knocking it off. Amen. Well, the New Age movement tells you, well, you gotta connect with that inner being. And you just gotta bring that inner being out. And they're trying to teach you that your thoughts can bring you into a reality, that there is an inward person that's on the inside, that's gonna be a path of light for you. And that New Age movement wants to brainwash it and tell you that there are many paths to light. It teaches that, listen, there is one path, the Bible said, there is one way, and that is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, what yoga teaches and what the New Age movement teaches, it teaches on meditation. But what are you meditating about? I mean, if you're meditating on the Word of God, that'll help you. If you're meditating on the sermons that you've heard this morning, that'll help you. But if you're meditating on things that are worldly or ungodly or not biblical, then your meditation is not going to be right. Why would we see some of the things that were happening today? Some of the things that we've seen happen in Florida, some of the things that we're seeing on the media, is because people's thoughts are only evil continually. I believe preacher somebody this morning, maybe Brother Coker, had talked about the way of thinking, and the more you think about it, you will end up acting on that. That's why the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are you thinking about? See, the New World movement and the New Age movement and what we're going and what we're facing today is trying to change the way that we think. People say, well, you ought not be so old-fashioned. We ought to be old-fashioned enough for the Bible. My old-fashioned religion didn't start 50 years ago when I was born. Amen. My old-fashioned religion goes all the way back to the book of Acts when the church started. Amen. I wonder how far back that somebody's old time religion goes. It don't go just back to a shouting grandma, and I had one. We need to look at a biblical standard and biblical convictions. And that's what these young men were doing. But one of these things today is they'll say, why don't you connect with your inner being? And you know what they'll do is the New Age movement today, and this new thought claims to be Christian. And it sounds very good. They'll say, well, you've got Christ on the inside of you. And they'll say, well, Christ was a good man. He came to straighten out a lot of social injustice. He came to straighten out racism. He came to straighten out these things. No, he didn't. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what the Bible said. And you can see this today. Have people make excuses, and they get it. They get up, and they may be an adult in here that's done gotten mad and upset because I've said something about yoga. You know, it's amazing to me. Most of the parents that I will preach to, if I ever have an issue, Brother Tim, it's not with the parents. Not with the young people. It's with the parents. They get upset. I need another cup of coffee is what my issue is this morning. It's not with the young people. I tell you, it's the mamas and the daddies. Brother Mike, they get upset. And listen, the children get behind you. And they'll say, you know what? That's exactly right. Thank God for somebody that'll tell me the truth. But we need some mamas and daddies that'll stay with it. And we can see now that these children's entertainment that you see in these movies and television shows and some of these things and these cartoons and these books and comic books, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to change the way that our young people think. Amen? That's all, folks. We come a long way since Porky Pig and Bugs Bunny. Amen. We come a long way. Now we got old SpongeBob SquarePants. Amen. We got old Hedgehog. And I don't watch a lot of it, but I try to. You say, I'm doing my job. I try to find out what you're looking at. I try to find out what you've been watching. I try to find out whatever's popular, because you ain't a fooling nobody. You run around behind mom and daddy's back, and you're going to look at what you want to look at and watch what you want to watch. Even Arthur. Some of you young people are watching some of those things. You say, what's wrong with that? I tell you what you ought to do. You need to find out what's wrong with it. Anything that teaches you that you go behind mom and daddy's back. Amen. And even Harry Potter and Twilight. Unto God, there are people that will take up for Twilight. And he's a good vampire. Did you hear why he's a Christian bank robber? That's exactly that. There ain't no difference. Why he's a good vampire. Why Harry Potter, He's a good witch. How ridiculous does that sound? Listen, we are deceived. We're fooling ourselves. Amen. I mean, what they're trying to do is they're trying to paint that as being something that is normal. And they're trying to say that witchcraft is okay. And they're trying to say, well, there's nothing really wrong with those sorts of things. Yes, there is. There is something wrong with it. I mean, the occult, these things are devilish. Listen, and you want to dress up during that, whatever, it ain't a holiday, during October, and dress up and walk around like, listen, walk around like somebody wearing all this devil outfit, wearing all these skeletons outfit, amen. That's right, everybody love your mama, say amen. Amen. I mean, listen, this new thought, that's what it is. Anything that teaches you that you don't need to mind mom and daddy, anything that teaches you that you need to sneak out to be a normal teenager. That's what we're seeing today. You're not normal. You're not a normal teenager if you don't lie to mom and daddy. Where does that come from? That's coming from Twilight, and that's coming from these other ungodly Hannah Montana, and I'm dating myself, and I know that. But listen, this Miley Cyrus crowd and some of these other ones, which I thank God I don't know the names of them. But listen, you know who I'm talking about. Teach you that, well, you sneak out, mamas and daddies, mom and daddies are a bunch of dummies. That's what they'll tell you. That's what those SpongeBobs and the rest of them tell you. Your mom and daddy's a stick in the mud. Your mom and daddy don't know what they're talking about. Your mom and daddy's trying to cramp your style. No, your mom and daddy's trying to keep you from messing your life up. Amen. Amen. Because they know the false ways of this world. But contrary to popular belief, your mom and daddy, way back when, I mean a set of false teeth and two knee replacement and a gallbladder removal, they were young just like you. You don't believe that. I know you don't. Amen? Right. Thank God mom and daddy's got a lot more sense of what you think they have. I know they don't. And my children, I mean, I guess they think I'm a nerd, I reckon. And that's all right. Hey, I think your preacher ought to be. Your preacher ought to be the biggest nerd in town. That's right. I believe that. I believe you ought to be so old-fashioned, amen, the knees is wore out in your swimming trunks. That's how old-fashioned you ought to be. Amen. Not the new way. Witchcraft is a religion. It's paganism. It's Satanism. That's what it is. There are no such thing as a good witch. There's no such thing as a good warlock. There's no such thing as Harry Potter being good. Harry Potter is not good. Twilight is not good. And that's why, hey, you wonder why? Why would somebody want to walk around look like they've been dead 3 days? Why would you want to do that? Amen. Why would you want to look that way? It's the infiltration of the world. Well, it's cute. No, it's not cute. It is not cute. When you have to dress up and look demonic and casting spells. Listen, my Bible tells me in Deuteronomy 18 verse 10. Said there shall not, I ain't even got to the first point yet here. All right, and it's knocking on 12 o'clock. Deuteronomy 18:10. That's the first amen I got from two or three of you. Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall not be any found among you, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. And that's somebody that's a fortune teller. The Bible said, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Because these abominations, the Lord doth, God doth drive them out from before thee. Listen, you wouldn't dare, you wouldn't take your child down. You wouldn't go down to a palm reader. You wouldn't go down, and I'm amazed. I mean, I go by to all these people that can see in the future and all these fortune tellers. Hey, and I'm not being mean. I know some good people that live in a very, very small living quarters. I know somebody that lives, people, good friends of mine that live in a single wide trailer. I'm not against single wide trailers. But I'm telling you, if I wasn't right with God and I could see in the future and I was a fortune teller, I would not have a fortune telling business run out of a single wide trailer. I'd win the lottery. I'd know the lottery numbers. I'd go down there and play the lottery and I'd have this great big old mansion. and I'd be driving a brand new Corvette or something. I wouldn't be driving a 77 Gremlin with a floorboard busted out, telling you you're giving you the lottery numbers. I'm like, why are you going to give them to somebody else? Why don't you take them yourself and have a little upgrade with your vehicle? They can't tell you nothing. They can't see in the future. They're dealing with devils. Amen? Hey, and that's where we are today. And they say, well, that's silly. You're silly preaching against things like that. That's what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think he's exactly like the outfits are in October. Horns, pitchfork, very easily to be recognized. That's not the way the devil operates. Man, Nebuchadnezzar tries to work on their mind. He'll give you a small dose of poison. I say this a lot of our church. The best rat poison on planet Earth is 98% cornmeal. It's the 2% that'll get you. And what we've done today, Brother Weaver, we've moved the fence. We don't say anything against anything anymore because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. I'm telling you, I want these people, every one of you from start to finish, front to back. I want everybody in this building serving God, living for God. I want everybody saved by the grace of God, teacher and student. And I want everybody living for God. And I'm telling you, I want y'all standing because I want to be able to look back if God lets me live for another year. And I want to be able to say, there they are. They're still serving God. And I tell Bryson's a good basketball player and probably a good football player. Bryson's a good athlete, but I'm telling you, I'd take 1,000 to 1 the good testimony that I heard this morning and the singing and the power of God on their life. Hey, there's a whole lot more things than being a point guard, a quarterback, and a shortstop. Man, right? And I'm obviously not against any of it, but there's more important things to this world. Amen? In this world. I'm going to get my points right quick. They wouldn't boogie. Hey, man, that's my point. They wouldn't boogie. Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, hit it. You know what the rest of them do? When Nebuchadnezzar says, hit it, here they go. And I mean, they're... Y'all didn't know I could do that, did you? Hey, man, I'm not sure I knew I could do it. Hey, man, that's where all these dance moves come from, right? It's exactly right. Look like they stepped in a big old pile of fire ants. Nothing natural about that. I mean, listen, not a bit. And Nebuchadnezzar said, hit the music, boys. There's three of them said, oh, no. No, we're going to stand. We're not going to boogie to that. You say, why? Because these three boys, what they knew, is greatly is the Lord, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situations. The God of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. They said, that music's strange to us. That's not godly music. I mean, listen, you can put some godly, might put some godly words to something that sounds halfway godly, but I'm telling you, if it's a bunch of whooping and a whanging and a down, there ain't nothing godly about that. Man, gospel rock, ain't no such thing. That's why you see it in the churches. They're putting up the black lights. They're putting everything black, everything dark. Cut the lights down. No, that's what you do at the honky-tonk on Saturday night. God is light. We are children of light. We're not children of darkness. We're not of the night, the Bible said. Why do you want to go in and look at somebody trying to create that kind of atmosphere of darkness and gothic? And these guys, bless your heart, I need to get down to the barber shop, praise God. Amen. And let me run something. You ought to say amen right there, Brother Mike. Amen. A man needs to get a haircut. You don't get your hair done. You don't get your hair done when you're a man. Bless Pat, get down there at the barber shop. Get somebody who knows how to give a haircut, amen. Instead of going down there to the beauty shop and find out what's going on all my illegitimate children and the old and the worthless, amen, and the bald and the beautiful. Amen. Everybody all right and the other half of you is afraid to say amen. Amen. That's where all this stuff is coming from. Music. That's where the baggy britches stuff comes from. Amen? Hey, man. Hey, listen, girls. If he can't keep his britches pulled up, he can't keep you up.
That's right.
Amen? That's exactly right. Get you, hey, I tell you what I'd do, young lady. I'd find me a man, praise God, to keep his britches pulled up and look like somebody instead of looking like he just a slip in the car 4 or 5 days. Amen. Pay $85 for a pair of blue jeans with the knees rotted out of them. Amen. And praise God. Hey, I'll tell you how you get your knees wore out in your britches. Go get you a pair at the Goodwill for about $5. Get you a good pair of Levi's, amen. And get out there and Brother Kyle talking about the weed. Get you a weed eater, amen. Get you a shovel in your hand. Get you a hoe handle, praise God. Get out there and clean the bushes out. Get out there and work a little bit, and you'll get a blister on your hand, and you'll get a hole in your britches. Pay $85 for a pair of pants that's already wore out, and then wonder why you can't pay the power bill. Hey, man, young lady, you need to find you a man. And it's amazing me, God, I never seen it. I mean, God bless me with a good-looking woman. I praise God for it, amen. I mean, listen, I'm glad God just put me in the path. But it doesn't matter. Hey, if it looks like if they could eat an apple through a barbed wire fence, God will strike them with dumbness and strike them with blindness, and God will give you somebody that's nice looking in your eyes. He will. But the first thing you need to do is look at somebody, look at these boys, ladies, and say, you know what? He looks like a man. He don't look like a half. He don't look like a shim. That's where this transgender stuff's coming from. That's what I'm talking about, changing your mind. God made a male and female. It's a man and a woman. That's the way God made them, amen? And God's wanting to do something in the lives of these young people, but the devil wants to stop it. They wasn't going to buggy. They wasn't going to listen to that. Do you know the Bible talks about the adversary in Ezekiel 28? Talking about the devil. Ezekiel 28 and verse 13 said, thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. And it talks about the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in the day thou wast created. Tabrets and pipes are musical instruments. Do you know Dr. Paul King? He's the medical director of the adolescent program for troubled youth at Lakeside Charter Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. He said this. He said 80% of his patients are a result of rock music. The lyrics become a philosophy, a religion. The National Education Society, and I quote, said many teenage suicides are linked to depression fueled by fatalistic music and lyrics. Do you know the average teenager in this building this morning listens to music about 6 hours a day? And I know we've come a long way since cassette tapes, but I know you could take a cassette tape and it might say preaching by Randy Bain on it, but it might have something on it that's not preaching by Randy Bain. And mamas and daddies are going there and looking, well, they're listening to preaching. No, they're not. They're listening to Molly Hatchet or whoever it is. They're listening to something ungodly. I tell you what you ought to do. Hey, listen, young people, if you can't do it in front of mom and daddy, you don't have no business doing it. If you got to hide it, that ought to let you know that it's not right. Amen? We're seeing it today even in the churches, even in the music. And, you know, I don't listen to rock and roll music. But I tell you what you will do. You'll listen to, wow, Tom, my dog got run over in the yard. Man. My poor old dog died last night. And I'm going to go out and get in a fight. Everything going to be all right. I'm going to go out and party tonight. Oh, damn. You wonder why you walk around depressed half the time. That depressed me, amen. A dog got run over and a mater gone. Ain't had no rain. I can't find my phone. That's what it is. Speaking to yourselves, the Bible said in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs. Not getting honky-tonk and not going out there, amen. And that's why this thing going on right now and the Jason Aldeans of this world and the ungodly. And listen, there's a long way since Ernest Tubb and the Texas Troubadours, which y'all don't even remember who that is, and Roy Acuff and the Great Speckled Bird. Now everything, there is no good music other than gospel music. There is no good music other than Christian music. And I mean, I like Christmas time, and I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm sorry. But if you go around and pump all that junk in your mind, that's why you live like you live. That's why you look like you look. You ain't got to tell me nothing. I've seen it. I've been there. I know how to pull the wool over mom and daddy's eyes. I did it for years and years and years. They would not boogie. They wouldn't bow. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this image and I'm going to present it, and all you got to do is bow down. They said, no, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to do, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, what you tell us to do, because my Bible tells me we're not to bow down to a graven image, and you've made an image of yourself, and we're not supposed to do that. We're not going to bow. Something else, we're not going to budge. I want you to look what the Bible said in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, brought these men. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake, said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? And here's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you another chance. Now, you didn't bow a while ago, but I'm going to give you another chance. And here's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said, no, sir. So, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, we done told you a while ago, and we're telling you again, we are not going to bow to that image. I thank God this morning that God is a God of a second chance. And he will give you another opportunity. And I praise God for that. God is a God of second chances, and third and fourth and fifth and 799, okay? But so is the devil. God will give you a second chance to do right, and I praise the Lord for it. But the devil as well will give you an opportunity to do wrong. You passed the test this morning. Maybe the adversary put something in front of you. Maybe he put some kind of music in front of you, and you turned an ear to him. You said, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I promise you, he's got another one waiting on you when you walk out this door. Some of you rode the bus or rode ever how you got here. He's got somebody sitting right next to you. Look at this on my phone. If you got to do this, if you got to take your phone and you got to hide it, and you got to say, look at this here. Look right here. But don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Don't let nobody know that I let you see this. Don't let nobody know that I let you watch. Don't tell nobody that we listen to that. You need to get away from that person as quickly as you can. They are not godly. They are not right for you, and they will wreck your life. These people in drug rehabs, and you know this, Brother Coker, these people in drug rehabs right now over one drink, over one hit, over one spend a night party, over one look at pornography. Amen? You can't even hardly go to the mailbox now without seeing pornography. You need to be, and listen, I don't believe there's a booger behind every bush, but I'm saying we have a responsibility to protect our young people. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, their mom and daddy wasn't there. Nobody would have thought bad about them if they had bowed down just like everybody else did. They wouldn't budge. The Bible said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But before that, he said, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Resist the devil means that you are hunkering down and that you're not going to give in. I tell you, listen, right here, starting right here and going all the way back, all the way through here, right here as well, Brother Mike, and going back here all the way to Carter. We need to have something about us that's saying, no, devil, you're not getting my testimony. You're not getting my church. You're not getting my man of God. You're not getting my family. You're not getting my school. You're not getting my mind. When you resist, you are hunkered down. Resisting is not get back. Stop. That's not resisting. Hey, it's going to take some intestinal fortitude on the inside. It's going to take some, no, I'm not going that way. What you need to do is that to end here today, man. Listen, I've seen people do it. You better listen to me, young lady. If he's one way at church and he's a different way when you got him by himself, that fellow ain't real and he's not right for you. Sir, if your girlfriend knows the words of Amazing Grace, that's all good. But if she's sitting here in church this morning and she's acting like she's Miss Goody Two Shoes, and then listen, when everybody gets by theirself and she's all over you And she's saying things and whispering sweet nothing in your ear. Ma'am, if he's whispering sweet nothing in your ear, that's exactly what it is. It means nothing. If you love me, well, he don't love you. If he loved you and cared for you as a person, you know the first time that I ever held hands with my wife was the day that I said I do. Amen. You say, well, you're bragging or boasting. No, I'm not. I'm saying, God, let me see my wife, and my testimony, my wife's are two totally different testimonies. But God gave me an opportunity to start all over. You say, well, I blowed it yesterday. Join the crowd. Many of us have. But your tomorrows are a whole different story. They wouldn't budge and they wouldn't burn. They said, well, I tell you what, God's able. God's able. Verse 21, they throwed him into the fire. And the Bible said, then these men were bound in their coats. But then later on in the text, he said, I see them loose. They were bound when they got in. They were loosed before they got out. The only thing that burned off of them is what had them bound. You know what I've tried to do for the last 40 minutes? I want to burn some things off of you that's got you bound where you can be loose. You say, well, if I can just get out from under this authority, I can have my freedom. No, you won't find nothing but bondage. You're in bondage right now to yourself. You're in bondage to sin. That's not freedom. You don't need freedom to sin. You need freedom from sin. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, yea, did not we cast three men bound in the fire? And he said, but I see four. And they're loose walking around. I tell you what, if you'll stand for God against this world, he'll walk with you when you get put in the fire. And he was with them, and they're as close to God in the fire as they've ever been in their life. What God is doing in your life right now, he might let you go into a fire. And he might let you go through a fiery trial, but you will not be by yourself. If you're determined to stand for God when nobody else will, he'll walk with you when nobody else will. I trust this morning that before you leave, you'll do business with God. The Bible said about these three men, they were the children of Judah. That means they were the children of praise. They had been birthed into the right family. That's how you got to get in. You got to get birthed into the family of God so you can stand when nobody else will. Let's everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your patience and putting up with me this morning. I want to say thank God for the teachers, the mamas, the daddies, the pastors, the administrators that are here. Not for their health and not for a paycheck, but because they want to invest in you to have another generation to serve the Lord.